Book of Hebrews. I'd like to read one verse there in the book of Hebrews. In verse 3, let's go up to verse 1 and read those first three verses. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or drift away. For if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard us? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I'd like for us to focus here on this great salvation. This great salvation. I've experienced salvation. You're saved by the grace of God. You've experienced salvation. And it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life, is when the Lord granted me salvation. And so as the Lord gives me liberty this morning, we'd like to speak for a while on the subject, why salvation is so great. Why salvation is so great. Salvation is great, first of all, because of its ability. Because of its ability. God's plan of salvation can do what no other plan devised by man or by systems could ever do. It can save the sinner. We have a good illustration of this and a great testimony here in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, we'd like to notice the testimony here of Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we'd like to notice verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, that I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Apostle Paul was able to give that testimony because the Lord, in His wonderful love and mercy and grace, reached down and did something for him that he could never do for himself. We that are saved by the grace of God, we experience something that we had never experienced before. And that was the gift of salvation. And so, the Apostle Paul, he trusted the gospel, and he found out firsthand that God's plan of salvation has the ability to save sinners. And I believe that the evidence is striking. God's plan of salvation is a life-changing plan. And I believe the evidences is all around us. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, a very familiar passage of Scripture, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, before you were saved, you were out of Christ. Now that you're saved by the grace of God, you're in Christ." And he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." So everywhere we look, there are lives that have been changed by the power of God. We look at the Apostle Paul's life. Before he was saved, he was a persecutor. And that's one way that you can tell that you're saved by the grace of God, is that your life will be changed. You'll have no desire to live the way that you used to live. You'll no longer want to live the same lifestyle and have the same lifestyle that you had before you were saved. And so, whom the Lord saves, He changes. Everybody that has ever been saved by the grace of God, that ever will be saved, their life is changed. Now, as we live our lives, we're surrounded by men and women and boys and girls who have trusted God's plan of salvation, and they have found that it works just exactly the way God said that it would work. Now, this plan is the only plan I believe that will work. No other plan, no matter how much sense it makes or how many followers it has, will never save the soul of one person. It takes the plan of salvation that God formulated and carried out to save souls. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 6, the Lord said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me." And so he says, "I am the way." He didn't say that he was a way. He said, "I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." That is the only plan that will work. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other." Neither is there salvation in any other. "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So his plan is the only plan that's going to work. All the plans of men, all the plans of men are bloodless plans. Every plan devised by men requires that that person work his way into good favor and graces with God. But the Word of God is very clear on this subject. it's very clear that works will never save. Works will never save. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9 there where he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so, that's the plan that will work. So any plan that neglects the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is a failure. It's a failure. In fact, in the book of Hebrews again there, in chapter 9, now, turn back here to Hebrews. You have your finger there in the book of Hebrews there in chapter 3. Go to chapter 9, and we'd like to read a verse there in verse 22. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." And so anyone who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith can look forward to having their life forever changed by the power of God. In the book of Mark, turn back here with me to the book of Mark in chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10. And we'd like to read a few verses there. Begin reading in verse 46. In Mark chapter 10. Look here concerning Bartimaeus. "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me.'" Notice there what he said. "Thou Son of David, have justice on me." No, he didn't want justice. He wanted mercy. And you're here this morning and lost, not saved by the grace of God. The only cry that you have this morning is, "Oh God, be merciful to me. I realize the sinner that I am. And I'm repenting of my sins right this moment. I'm repenting of my sins and I'm trusting You 100% for my deliverance and for my salvation." Notice he said, "Have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." You talk about the effectual call. "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' And the blind man said unto him, Lord, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." In the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so after he met Jesus, Bartimaeus' life was forever changed. And it was changed for the better.
not for the worse. And so, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ will always affect a change for the good in your heart and in your life. I believe this plan has the power to change the vilest of sinners. It has the power that no other religion or no other movement has. And so salvation this morning is great because it takes sinners and changes them into a child of God. Borns them again. So salvation is great because of its ability. Because of its ability. You say, I could never be saved. You don't know my past. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the way that I've lived in the past. The Apostle Paul said that he was the chiefest of sinners. Paul said that he was the very worst of sinners. Isn't that what he said there in that scripture I just read you in 1 Timothy? Boy, when the Lord saved me, I thought I was the vilest. I thought I was the worst. I really did. And then I got to reading my Bible a little bit and I ran across this verse here. And I thought, well, the Apostle Paul said he was. So I guess he was. But right next to him was me. And I believe anybody that is saved by the grace of God, I believe that they feel the very same way. The day that the Lord saved you, dealt with your heart, you realize the mercy and the grace of God that you had experienced in your life, and no doubt you felt that you were the very worst of sinners. Salvation is great this morning, not only because of its ability, but also because of its availability. Because of its availability. One fact about God's plan of salvation that causes it to stand head and shoulders above every other religious system in the world is that it is available to anyone, anywhere, that will repent and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be included in the ranks of many of the world religions, you have to meet a very rigorous set of rules. You have to be born into your faith and so on. But being saved, being born again, is much different. There are certain qualifications which must be met before that you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and here they are. Number one, you have to be a sinner. You have to be a sinner. The Lord saves sinners. Look with me in the book of Romans. The book of Romans. The book of Romans, I'd like for you to turn to verse 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Romans chapter 3. And notice verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So first of all, you must be a sinner. Number two, you have to be aware of your sin. You must be aware of your sin. Back in the Gospel of John chapter 6, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and we'd like to look at verse 44. You have to be aware of your sin. Now notice this in verse 44. No man can come. Isn't that they won't? They can't. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Number 3. You must be willing to confess your sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness there in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. So in other words, you have to be willing to acknowledge that you are a sinner. You must be willing, fourth of all, to repent of your sin. Now, I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and I'd like to notice verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So you must be willing also to repent of your sin. Now, notice in back in Romans, or over here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Fifth of all, you must be willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. Now notice, that if thou, in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's pretty clear, isn't it? So you must be a sinner. You must be aware of your sin. You must be willing to confess your sin. You must be willing to repent of your sin. You must be willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. When a person comes to the place where they are ready to receive these things, you're eligible for salvation. You're eligible to be saved. When they come to Him, they'll find that Jesus Christ will save their soul. When I was saved, I came to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith and trusting Him as the Lord and Savior of my life. That was the only thing that I knew to do. I didn't know anything about the doctrine of election. I didn't know anything about the foreordination of God. Is all I knew to do was to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know anything about wooing and drawing as far as those terms go. After I was saved by the grace of God, I found out all about those things. And I knew, and it was very clear, and it was very plain to me, and I rejoiced in the fact that I was elected, that I was foreordained that I'd be saved, and that I come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a great blessing to me, and it's a great blessing to me today to know all of that. And it's precious to me to know that I was elected unto salvation. And when I was wooed and I was drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. But the day that I was saved, I didn't know anything about that. I do now. I realized that it was the wooing and the powerful drawing of the Holy Spirit of God that brought me to the place that I was at. But I believe that you come as a sinner. You come being aware of your sin. And you come confessing your sin before Him. And you're willing, and the Lord says that He makes us willing in the day of His power. I didn't know that then, but I do now. And I was made willing to repent of my sins. And I was willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. So regardless of what you've done, the Lord will save you. He'll save you. His salvation is free. His salvation is free. You say, well, it had to cost somebody something. It did. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ every drop of blood that He shed. Or that He poured out. And it's fast also. It doesn't take forever for the Lord to get the job done. I believe salvation happens instantaneously. It was instant. The repentance was there. The faith was there. The trust was there. The forgiveness was there. It was all right there. Now, how long does it take to believe? Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And let us notice verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so salvation this morning is great because of its ability. It's great because of its availability. And it's also great because of its reliability. God's plan of salvation is 100% reliable. You can count on it to do what the Lord Jesus Christ promised that it would do. This plan will never fail. This plan of His will never be revoked. And it's absolutely worthy of your faith. A man can trust any plan that he pleases. He can devote himself to Mormonism. He can devote himself to Hinduism. He can devote himself to Jehovah's Witnesses, to Methodists, to Catholicism, to Presbyterians, even to Baptists. But no man can ever have the hope of eternal life until he comes by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, and only then, can that person have hope of eternal life. God knows no other way for the soul of man to be saved than through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who come to God by Jesus are forever saved by the grace of God. Those who do not are forever lost and headed to hell. He that hath a son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You either have life or you don't have life. No middle ground. There are three things here that God does not know that throw you for a flip. He does not know the sin that He does not hate. He does not know of a better plan of salvation than what I have preached to you this morning. He does not know of a better time for you to be saved than right now. While every other system is faulty and leads to damnation, God's plan of salvation is foolproof. And it leads to everlasting life. What are you trusting today? What are you trusting today? You say, Brother Jones, when I was 12 years old, I came forward, walked down this aisle. What are you depending on? Are you depending on walking down that aisle? What are you depending on for salvation? What are you depending on to get to heaven? Good question. I believe there's many that have walked the aisle because of Sally, because she walked the aisle. Many are claiming that they have salvation because their boyfriend walked the aisle and they didn't want to lose him. So they walk the aisle. And the many men today have walked the aisle because their girlfriend wouldn't marry him if he wasn't a Baptist. So they walk the aisle. But what are you depending on to get to heaven? Salvation is great because of its ability, because of its availability, because of its reliability, and because of its durability. Every plan of man has an escape clause in it. If you do things by their book, then you can hope that you will make it to their heaven. But if you step out of line, then you're out. In other words, if you ever had anything then, when you mess up, you've lost everything. It's not that way with the Lord. I thank God that I can tell you this morning that God's plan of salvation works a little bit differently than that. Once God gives you salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll never take it away. You'll never lose it. Once you have been truly saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved forever. And so we thank the Lord this morning that if you're saved, then there's one thing that'll never pass away. And that is your salvation. It'll never pass away. You that have been recently saved, I'm sure you found out already that you realize more that you're a sinner than you ever had been. I'll tell you what, the devil started working on me harder than he ever did after I was saved. And I found out in a hurry I had two natures. And I found out in a hurry the one I fed the most was one that's going to win out too. You feed the spiritual man, he's going to win out. You feed the fire carnal man, and the carnal man, the fleshly man, is going to win out. And you find that out in a hurry right after you're saved. Isn't that right? Well, I thought I was perfect. I thought before I was saved, I thought, you know, if I get saved and everything, I'll be perfect. You know? Well, I found out in a hurry that wasn't so. But I'm thankful this morning that I have eternal life. God promises everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Not only does he promise us everlasting life, but he promised me that I would never perish. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We have passed also from death unto life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He promises that we are saved to the uttermost. There in the book of Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 where he says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He also promises that we're saved from wrath. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. He's also promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. There in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, where he said, he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And if that wasn't enough, allow me also to say this. We are not going to lose our salvation. There are some serious consequences that would happen if that took place. Some serious consequences would take place. All of God's children, if we can lose our salvation, all of God's children would be in hell. If Satan could get one of them, then he would take every one of us. Jesus Christ himself also would be cast into hell, if that were true. If his promises are not true, then they're not worth the paper that they're written on. And he's an imposter. But if that is the case, then he too is a sinner and is in hell today. But that is not true. Another consequence would be Christianity is no better than any other religion on the face of the earth. And we'll all wind up in hell. If you ever lose your salvation, then you have no hopes of ever getting it back again. Contrary to the teaching of those who believe it, can be had and lost again. The Bible is very clear, very plain, that salvation is a one-time deal. One time. You're only saved one time. You're only born again one time. I've talked to people and asked them if they're saved. They say, oh yeah, I've been saved three times. Well, I've been saved four times. I say, now wait a minute. The Bible said you must be born again. You're not born again twice. You're born again only one time. Now, which time was it? They don't even know what you're talking about. And I love to sing that song, You Must Be Born Again. And it gets done in the chorus, you know. You must be born again and again. It doesn't say that. In the other line, you know, that some are supposed to be singing, You Must Be Born Again and Again. You know, you're not born again and again. You're born again. You're only saved one time. The Lord's ever saved you. And I'm glad this morning that I can stand here on the authority of God's Word and report to you that salvation is durable beyond man's wildest dreams. And you and I will fail God many, many times as we walk through this life that we're in. But He'll never fail us. He'll keep us until the day that we arrive in glory with Him. If you're saved, you need never fear of being unsaved, no matter what happens. God cannot and will not forget the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He'll never forget that. And so salvation is great this morning because of its ability, because of its availability, and because of its reliability and its durability, and last of all, because of its desirability. God's plan of salvation is to be desired because it offers something to us that no other plan can. It offers assurance of heaven. The assurance of heaven. Only God's plan of salvation offers a home in heaven that is a guarantee. We have the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself on this matter in John chapter 14, verse 1, where He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What a promise. We have the assurance of heaven. If salvation did nothing more than rescue the soul from hell and cleanse away our sin, it would be desirable. But when you consider that heaven is also a reality to every person that puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, it makes it even more desirable. Man, it was a blessing to realize that my sins were forgiven. That was a great blessing, and that was a great relief for me, and that was a great promise to me. But to know that I have heaven as my home, that I have God as my Father, and I have Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I have the church as my fellowship. Boy, what more do you want? What more do you want? Have you ever considered what it would be like for you when you come down to the end of your life? Will you have the confidence to leave this world with praise on your lips and the full assurance in your heart that you're forever saved by the grace of God? Or will you come to that day knowing in your heart that you've wasted every opportunity and you're now forever lost and separated from God Almighty? Death often comes like that. There were some friends that my wife worked with. They're real close. They were on their way to Kentucky, on the way here to visit us, on their way home from Florida. They'd been down there for a month. And they left Florida in the evening, driving, got as far as Georgia. And like that, lady that was coming toward them lost control of her car
She tried to dodge something in the road. And when she did, her car flipped over and it was airborne and it went right into the windshield of their truck. Killed them instantly. That's the reason, one of the reasons, we say now. Now is the time to be saved. Trust Him now. You have that opportunity. God's plan of salvation is available to you right now. Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, repenting of your sins, confessing yourself a sinner, and receive Him as your Lord and Savior? Then you can leave here totally forgiven and eternally saved. And then you too will know what this great salvation is all about. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? That's God's plan. That's God's plan. And that plan works. There's the testimony of several people here today that will testify that God's plan works. What are you depending on to get to heaven? You answer that. What are you depending on?